Thank you, John Guy, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, June 29th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A United States Congressional Staff Delegation is in Zimbabwe on a two-day visit to assess the political situation in the country with a view of amending the Zimbabwe Democracy Recovery Act of 2001.
Zimbabwe hasn't been at the top of the list for a long time. It doesn't mean it's forgotten. It just means that there's so many immediate crises that we've had to deal with.
Tensions in ZANU-PF are on the rise again, with fresh friction pitting two vice presidents who are said to have played a critical role in the ouster of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru and other senior ZANU-PF officials.
It's now free for all. Everyone is making decisions and can do anything. That's the problem. It's now free for all. Our party used to be a disciplined party where such things were unheard of.
The Zimbabwe Referees Association has suspended a soccer match official for denying Highlanders Football Club what is widely regarded as a clear goal against Dynamos.
A vendor's organization says it was business as usual today in the Harare Central Business District, despite the expiry last Friday of an ultimatum set by the government for informal traders to leave city streets.
These stories and much, much more coming up.
A United States Congressional Staff Delegation is in Zimbabwe on a two-day visit to assess the political situation in the country with a view of amending the Zimbabwe Democracy Recovery Act of 2001, OZIDERA, so that it reflects developments that have taken place in the last 15 years. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Staff Director Gregory Simpkins of the U.S. House Subcommittee on Africa, Health, Human Rights and International Relations, who is leading the delegation, which includes Counsel Pierre Tozzi, said there have been some changes since 2001 and certain issues have been overtaken by events.
Well, this trip allows us to gather information that will make it much more fruitful to re-examine ZIDERA. Some of it, obviously, is overtaken by events. Zimbabwe is no longer involved in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So some things have changed since 2001, obviously. So we would probably look to update it in any event.
Simpkins, whose committee was involved in the crafting of ZIDERA, said the piece of legislation was not created to favor the opposition, but was enacted to facilitate an environment of fair competition. He, however, said most of the issues raised in ZIDERA have not been met, as there continues to be lack of respect for human rights, property rights, press freedom and freedom of association, among other ills. Simpkins noted that the American government wants Zimbabwe to remain stable, hence the re-engagement efforts.
Zimbabwe hasn't been at the top of the list for a long time. It doesn't mean it's forgotten. It just means that there's so many immediate crises that we've had to deal with. But again, those of us who've worked on Zimbabwe issues for a long time never want to see it completely off the table, so we're trying to move it back into the light of examination to see what we should do, what can we do.
He added that after the visit, the U.S. Congress would discuss and come up with a position on Zimbabwe. The visit by Simpkins and Tozzi is a follow-up to the hearings by his committee in the U.S. early this month and another visit by senior State Department officials Dr. Shannon Smith and Stephen Feldstein last month. The two officials said it was important for the opposition to make itself relevant by participating in elections. They said It would be difficult for the opposition to criticize the election process without testing it. But Obed Gutu, spokesman of the opposition Movement for Democratic Change, led by Morgan Tsvangirai, said his party's decision to boycott elections was principled and they will stick to it.
The political situation remains dire. What there is a disappearance of Itai Zamara.
ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo could not be reached for comment as he was not picking his mobile phone. Independent political analyst Charles Mangongera said the visit by the U.S. officials are normal diplomatic exchanges between the two countries. Mangongera said he does not expect a policy shift by the American government soon, given the ZANU-PF government's continued violation of human, property and other rights.
The reality is that the conditions that were prevailing when those conditions were put together, when Zidera was put together, are still there. I mean, those human rights concerns are still key. So I don't see any significant change in the U.S. policy towards Zimbabwe, at least in the short to medium term.
The European Union lifted some targeted sanctions on Zimbabwe, but the U.S. maintains them, saying they would only be removed if President Robert Mugabe's government improves its human rights record. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Meanwhile, the United States government says human rights violations continued in Zimbabwe in 2014 with the state targeting for torture, abuse, arrest and harassment members of non-ZANU-PF parties and civil society activists. In a Zimbabwe country report released today on human rights practices for 2014, the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights and Labor said partisan application of the rule of law by security forces and the judiciary and restrictions on civil liberties continue amid many other human rights problems.
It said this included the government's expropriation of private property, executive political influence and interference in the judiciary, and infringement on citizens' privacy rights. The United States further noted that the government generally failed to investigate or prosecute state security or ZANU-PF supporters responsible for violence, and authorities restricted freedoms of speech, press, assembly, association, and movement. It also noted that government corruption remained widespread, including at the local level.
Tensions in ZANU-PF are on the rise again, with fresh friction pitting two vice presidents who are said to have played a critical role in the ouster of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru and more than a dozen other senior ZANU-PF officials before the party's elective congress last December. President Robert Mugabe is quoted by the state-controlled Sunday Mail as cautioning party supporters against discussing his succession or coalescing around the two vice presidents, Emmerson Mnangagwa and Phelekezela Mpoko, saying people will choose their own president when time comes. Economists are warning that factional fights are worsening the economic crisis as ministers spend time on party business. But those expelled from the party are alleging that there is growing instability within the party and they are also being targeted for continued persecution. Former Mashingo Provincial Affairs Minister and ZANU-PF Mwenezi East lawmaker Kudakwashe Basikiti, who was recently expelled from the party, accused his successor, Minister Shuai Maofa, of targeting him and influencing war veterans and party supporters to occupy part of his farm in Mwenezi. Basikiti tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that despite the expulsions and purges, there is still instability in ZANU-PF.
War veterans came and took fencing wire from my farm. When the police went to investigate, they were even speaking proudly and boasting that we are being instructed by Minister Maofa. You cannot do anything to us. We don't listen to instruction from you. We were told by Ms. Maofa to do what we are doing, and we will continue to do it. So you see, people are just taking the law into their hands. And it's unfortunate that you get senior government officers behaving as if there is no law in our country. It's pathetic.
So you are attributing this to the chaos in ZANU-PF?
Precisely. It's now free for all. Everyone is making decisions and can do anything. That's the problem. It's now free for all. Our party used to be a disciplined party where such things were unheard of. But beginning December last year, things have just deteriorated and anyone can do anything. So that's why we go to the courts to seek remedy, because the fundamentals of freedom are being destroyed in broad daylight, and you would wonder and you wish to say Smith was a better minister than our own ministers who are now terrorizing and oppressing and victimizing their own fellow black Africans.
That was former Mashingo Provincial Affairs Minister and ZANU-PF Mwenezi East lawmaker Kudakwashe Basikiti on the line from Mwenezi with Blessing Zulu.
A blessing also reached Shubai Mahofa, who says factionalism in Masingo in particular and ZANU-PF in general ended with the expulsion of Mrs. Mujuru and her allies. Mahofa says what Basikiti is calling factionalism is a government plan to downsize farms.
No, downsizing is everywhere in Zimbabwe. They are getting down to 500 hectares for cattle raising or farming, the maximum size, and they are getting down to 20 hectares to sugar for irrigated farm, so that our people share and all get something rather than putting 400 hectares.
How about his complaints that people like Billy Rottenberg, who he is claiming aligned to ZANU-PF, are not being targeted?
Everybody is being targeted. It depends on what business you are going to do.
So this is nothing to do at all with the politics or factionalism that he's talking about?
That has gone very far. Along with that has ended in this province. We already have no more hearing of that anymore. Of factionalism. That was very long back.
That was Maswingo Provincial Affairs Minister Shubai Mahofa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Maswingo.
A vendors organization says it was business as usual today in the Harare Central Business District despite the expiry last Friday of an ultimatum set by the government for informal traders to leave city streets. Director Samuel Wadzai of the National Vendors Union Zimbabwe says the only problem they had so far was that of non-land barons hijacking the vendor registration process and collecting money from vendors. The Harare City Council announced last week that it will seek help from the police to remove the vendors, though Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni said today he will only discuss this issue after Tuesday's full council meeting. Wadzai told Studio 7 they are not resisting relocation to new sites, but are ready to have dialogue with the council.
We don't believe there is any need for force at this juncture. What is important is to start to discuss things, dialogue and more dialogue to assist us in solving this problem. So it's business as usual. Vendors are doing their business.
What about the issue of registering with the authorities? We understand that many of the vendors on the streets are unregistered and they will lose out on the spaces that the council is going to provide.
The biggest challenge now we have is that the city of Harare, for example, he has instructed space barons to go around registering vendors on their behalf. This is unbelievable. This is shocking. We don't expect the city of Harare to do such a reckless move at this point in time. We know that for a long time, these space barons have been stealing money from vendors. And the major reason why vendors are refusing to go to these so-called business sites is because there are space barons waiting for them there. Why are they bringing in space barons to do the registration process? This is solely the responsibility of the city councils themselves to do the registration process so that they have got accurate numbers in terms of vendors who are plying their trade within the CBD areas or even Maseba.
That was National Vendors Union Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wadzai speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
We also reached a small and medium enterprises minister, Thembiso Nyoni, who says the government does not want to push vendors out of the street without first offering an alternative place where they can sell their wares.
Vendors all over the country, they are well organized and they are operating where they have been designated. For instance, yesterday I was in Bulawayo and I met with the vendor leaders, and the mayor of Bulawayo has written to the local government here in Harare to ask for an extension because they want to share where vendors will be operating from. I think people are making a big meal out of this issue. The process is on. It is moving well. It could be slow, but surely we are moving towards that. And my ministry is not just focusing on vendors. And if you go in the street, a lot of these people that are vending, they are really not, they don't want to vend. They want to be given space to manufacture. They want to be given space to do other things. They want to be productive. And we are planning and considering those as well.
In other words, are we saying that at the moment, no vendor, even those who have not been allocated any vending bays, will be chased away from the streets?
No. When I talked to the Minister of Local Government, they were still registering people. Because with when you register, you get your card and then you get your space where you are going.
That was Small and Medium Enterprise Minister Thembiso Nyoni on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says leaders like President Robert Mugabe are directly responsible and yet continue to deny that they are responsible for xenophobic attacks in South Africa, where foreigners are targeted for allegedly grabbing most jobs. In his State of the Nation address, which covered a lot of issues, Tsvangirai said political tensions in President Mugabe's party is devastating the nation, forcing thousands of people to leave the nation due to lack of employment. He said as a result, Zimbabweans are being targeted by some South Africans due to a situation caused back home by President Mugabe's government that does not want to address key social, economic and political issues. He noted that Zimbabweans have been battered over the years by the ruling party without hitting back, but this cannot continue unchallenged. MDCT deputy spokesperson Tabitha Kumalo tells reporter Stanley Mhlanga that through the State of the Nation address, her party is highlighting problems faced by the country while offering possible solutions.
We are talking of the socio-economic, cultural, political environment in Zimbabwe. And what is it that in the NDC we are offering to the people of Zimbabwe? Bearing in mind that we have gone to elections, which elections we have won hands down. But just because we are working with the Tricolor, a party which believes in stealing, even stealing itself, they kept on stealing the election because they are refusing to hand over power to the NDC. So what we are basically doing with the party is taking the people of Zimbabwe where we came from, where we are, and where we are going.
Your party says it will take matters in its own hands if what it calls intimidation by ZANU-PF continues. And most people have interpreted this as advocating for violence. What exactly does your party intend to do?
We have proved that the end of the doubt that we are not a party of violence. We have been in this game since 1999 to this day. We have never used violence. We have used the power of the voice and the fountain pen and the boardroom for us to negotiate. A good example is the global agreement where we eventually came into government and worked with these crooks to try and resuscitate Zimbabwe. So we are not a violent party. We are not going to use violence, but we are going to use the power of our mouth, our brains, and the body.
That was MDCT Deputy Spokesperson Tabitha Kumalo on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
on the internet. Find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
a non-communicable diseases claim many lives in Zimbabwe.
And a former Mutare mayor and MDCT legislator dies.
And the Referees Association suspends a soccer official for poor match officiating.
Stay tuned for more details.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Burundi is going ahead with parliamentary elections Monday despite an opposition boycott and criticism from the United Nations and African Union requesting the free and fair nature of the vote.
One of two inmates who escaped a prison in the U.S. state of New York remained hospitalized Monday, a day after being shot and taken back into custody by police.
And a solar-powered Swiss airplane is back in the air as it attempts a 35,000-kilometer trip around the world without a drop of fuel.
While HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, malaria, and other communicable diseases have been grabbing headlines, less talked about are what are known as non-communicable diseases, which, as Studio 7's Statenda Gumbo reports, are quietly killing many Zimbabweans.
An estimated 31% of deaths in Zimbabwe in 2014 were a result of non-communicable diseases, World Health Organization statistics show. Private practitioner and former chair of the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights, Douglas Gwatidzo, explains NCDs.
NCDs are those conditions or diseases that do not spread through, like, for example, what we call droplet infection, where somebody coughs up some stuff which is loaded with bacteria and then it's passed on to another person.
What they are, explains Dr. Gwatidzo, are the equally dangerous but sometimes harder to detect diseases.
What we call cardiovascular disease, which is those diseases that affect mostly the heart. Then it can have other conditions that hormone-controlled conditions like diabetes. And then you've got a variety of cancers that are also not communicable, that just, come up. But the word of caution, some cancers have what we call pre-exposing factors that are of an infective nature.
According to statistics, cardiovascular diseases like heart attacks and strokes account for 9% of deaths from NCDs, while 10% of these deaths are a result of cancer illnesses. Among this group of infectious cancers, says Dr. Anne Kaparau, a cancer specialist, is cervical cancer and other types which she says are closely linked to HIV.
And these include cervical cancer, Kaposi sarcoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and eye cancer. So the burden of cancer has been increased by the HIV disease.
Efforts to stop the spread of such cancers that come from contact are vaccines. As Dr. Bernard Madzima explains, efforts are underway to tackle the human papilloma virus, or HPV.
The most important thing is maybe to prevent and then to detect early. We are piloting what is called the human papilloma virus vaccine, which we are going to be giving to 9 to 13-year-old girls to pilot in two districts, Bedbridge and Sekhe District.
While reports indicate an increase in such NCDs, Dr. Gwatizo says the level of awareness is now more than likely as a result of better detection as more people are diagnosed or find access to medical facilities.
I don't think there is an increase per se. An increase just like that. I think there is an element of increased awareness, increased awareness, and increased access to healthcare, which is making it possible for us to know know that somebody will die of this condition.
Health professionals stress prevention as the best way to avoid getting illnesses that are communicable, like HIV, and also non-communicable, such as heart disease and diabetes, both of which are triggered by poor lifestyle habits, such as a poor diet and lack of exercise. Further, says Dr. Guatizo, a factor concerned with the NCDs is that they are hereditary and can be passed on from one generation to the next.
In other words, you're saying if one parent had or one relative had the condition, so chances of the sibling or the children getting that condition is high. But of course, you do get the odd one that comes out of the blue, where you try to trace as far back, in fact, 10 generations, and you don't find anybody. That you find in diabetes, it's quite common that you can get some.
Dr. Guatizo says offsetting diabetes, heart disease, or even strokes can be fun, involving a little music and dancing.
If you're one of those that you've got access to these group exercise activities that happen, you know, like the walk up alone, where people get together and just walk 10 kilometers and beyond, or you know, like aerobic alone, which is, you know, you do aerobics, dancing to some music, you know, which is fun together with exercise. If one can do that, if one can join such a club, that would be a great deal.
Reporting for Studio 7, this is Tatenda Gumbo in Washington.
Hundreds of people converged today at the homestead of the later former MDC Member of Parliament for Mutasa South, Meshack Tofamangwana Kagurabadza, who died on Saturday. The late legislator's brother, Paul Kagurabadza, says that the late legislator was also Mutare Mayor, died of diabetes.
It's more of a sudden death. Yes, it was a sudden death because he was supposed to wake up and do his morning walk. He normally wakes up at 5. So the wife had some groaning. They called the doctor. The doctor tried his best. But after some 30, 40 minutes, I said, no, I was cinnamon.
That was Paul Kagurabadza, a brother of the late Meshack Tofamangwana Kagurabadza, speaking with Studio 7. MDCT activist says Zimbabwe has lost a national hero and philanthropist as he assisted many less privileged locals. Kagurabadza, who died at the age of 70, is said to be laid to rest at his rural home, Mundenda Village, Manika Bridge, Manicaland Province.
The Zimbabwe Referees Association has suspended a soccer match official, Bongani Gadzikwa, for denying Highlanders Football Club what is widely regarded as a clear goal against Dynamos. Meanwhile, Highlanders are crying foul after their 3-2 defeat by Dynamos in the Castellaga Premier Soccer League match. Reporter Michael Cariati has more details from Harare.
The Blower Giants are not happy after referee Norman Matemera denied them what looked like a genuine strike from Edmond Zanenamo, which could have seen the two teams share the points in this exciting game. Most of the Highlanders supporters who were in the stadium believed that was a clear and genuine goal. They claim the match officials robbed them of a valuable away point. Dynamos were leading 3-2 when Matemera, after consulting his linesman, rode off the goal, judging that Muzanenamo was offside. Even boss of coach Bongani Mafu is not happy with what happened yesterday, saying there is need for better officiating if Zimbabwean football is to be taken seriously.
Let's have proper refereeing here. If we are to improve all round, I'm not happy with that, honestly.
On the other hand, Dynamo's coach Desmond Gora refused to be drawn into the debate over the disallowed bottle goal, saying his hands are tied.
I don't know. I think you can ask the match officials.
The win has seen Dynamos close the gap between leaders Chicken Inn to only 3 points after the Gamecock game against Tongo Sawmills was abandoned. And now to Athletic. Blanket mine runner, Protea Zimuwe, yesterday continued his dominance of the Econet Victoria Falls Marathon after winning his fourth consecutive title with a time of 2 hours, 19 minutes, and 12 seconds. 42-year-old Tabitha Tata won the women's section with a time of 2 hours and 50 minutes. Veteran long-distance runner Sam Kelly-Somoyo finished in 7th position. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Carrier.
Thanks, Michael. That brings us to the end of the show. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.